So we left off last week. It's easy to say we're trying to put the final touches on the sugya, but I have a feeling that we still got a long way to go. Maybe we'll call it the middle touches on the sugya. So we're talking about the sugya that appeared. It started out in Maseches Sukkah, where the Gemara talked about the requirement of kolam mitzvahs mevarchim over las yasam. So we were quick to discover that that rule is not an absolute, and there is at least for sure one documented yotzim in a klal to that rule. That's the Gemara that appears in the beginning of Maseches Zayin about Tevilah B'mikvah. The reason why Tevilah B'mikvah is the exception to the rule is because Gavra L'chazik, because the person isn't able to. It's just halachically not practical, not possible for him to recite the bracha beforehand. So we had a big machlekes at Rishonim last week. We spoke about machlekes in Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel. What kind of a Tevilah were we talking about? And of course, the Kali of that statement would be, so, well, what is impossible? Why can't he recite the bracha beforehand? So according to Ben Hanan, we're talking about Tfilas Ger, and then the answer is obvious because it's not Jewish. According to Rashi, we're talking about Tfilas Ezra, Tfilas Bakari, and the answer is also obvious that you're not allowed to make a bracha, at least Meikar Adin, at least in the olden days, you're not allowed to make a bracha when one is in the state of Tumas Keri. But now the question becomes, no matter which shot we take, the question is, when the Gemara says that Chazal, in a sense, changed the rules for these mitzvahs, that they don't follow the regular rules of Avodas Yasod, doesn't that mean only in this particular scenario, in the case of Tvila, whichever case of Tvila you think it is, what do you think that is Tvila's Ger, Tvila's Bakari, in this particular case, where you can't make a bracha of Avodas Yasod, nebuch, what can you do? You have to make it afterwards. But in other cases of Tvila, where it would be possible to recite the bracha in the appropriate place, namely before the mitzvah, so of course that's what you should do. What do we say now? That there's almost like this rule in Hilchos Brachos, like to maintain uniformity in Hilchos Brachos, almost like a low plug kind of halacha, that if this particular bracha can't be said over las yasad sometimes, then by default it's never said over las yasad. Is there such a follow-up to this principle in Hilchos Brachos or not? So again, so we start with the Gemara in Sukkah that tells us the basic rule over las yasad. So we're definitely aiming for over las yasad. Gemara Pesachim puts the brakes on it and says, sometimes you can't. Rashi and Chanan, what the sometimes is. Now, a further breakdown of Rishonim, in cases where you can, do we just, do they get swept along up to the cases that you can't? So we pointed out at the very end of this year, last week, that this was actually 2 days in Tais, the Chalik Simshonim. There were some Rishonim who maintained that, Havla lo sifala, we don't add to the case itself. The case, Atkan v'lo yosef. Tfilas Ger, Tfilas Keri, whatever the case of the Gemara is, no more, no less. And Taisus called him the name of the Ri, who gave had a libut chus for the women when they go to the mikvah. The minig in many of the Ashkenazi communities was and is till today, is that the women recite the bracha after the tefila. The rationale for that being, since every once in a blue moon you can't make the bracha before, i.e. Tfilas Ger, therefore lo plug other Tfilas Ger, we keep uniformity in brachas. How do we pass in the halacha? Depends who we are. So the Sfaradim today follow the Shulchan Aruch, who says he recite the bracha beforehand. Only Tfilas Ger is the exception. And the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, follow the minhag of the Ramah, the minhag of many of the Balei HaTosfos, that the bracha is always done afterwards. Nevertheless, there is somewhat of a strange minhag that exists in our community that the Ashkenazi women have, where they almost try to have the cake and eat it. They almost try to walk this tightrope that, on the one hand, they're really in the heart of hearts, they really want to make the bracha beforehand because Pashas HaDvarim is, that's what the din should be. Kol HaMitzvahs V'Vachat Obolas Yosan, there's really no strong, compelling reason not to do it that way. The only reason is, it's like low plug in Uchaz Brachas. Again, we don't even have a source in Chazal per se that even such a low plug exists. It's a reason, it's a Taisvahs. So the women today, the Ashkenazi women, not literally today, but the last hundreds of years, are kind of a little nervous about this. On the one hand, they don't want to go against what the reset, what the Minhag HaNoshim was, what the Babis have been doing for hundreds and thousands of years, all the Ashkenazi women from Deir Deiris have been making the bracha afterwards. On the other hand, it's very, very shaky in the simple Pshat and the Sugya, and therefore a Minhag developed, I can't tell you exactly when this Minhag developed, but a Minhag developed quite some time. There's a Minhag in Ashkenazi communities that when a woman goes to the mikvah, she's Tovelas twice. And we'll see in a moment she's even Tovelas more than that, but she's Tovelas twice. First, she goes down onto the water without having made a bracha. She comes up and with her head out of the water, then she recites the bracha and then goes down a second time. And that way, she almost gets the best of both worlds. that on the one hand, she didn't recite the bracha before the mitzvah, so she didn't violate that in the sense that lo plug of the re of the b'nei hanashim that Tosfos himself in quotes. She went out of her way to dafka do the mitzvah first. On the other hand, she also chapped the bracha before the mitzvah, because she chapped it before the second mitzvah, for the second tefillah. That's also a shtikal of alasiyasa. So she almost makes all the rishonim happy. So that minug is again a very, very prevalent minug, but it's l'chora very, very difficult to understand. From the pure halachic point of view, it is almost impossible to understand this. Because the idea of the minug was to enable the bracha to be a little bit over the siyasa. It's almost like she hasn't finished the mitzvah yet. What do you mean she hasn't finished the mitzvah? We know that once you tovel once, the game's over. You tovel, finished. The seventh tefillah is mamash dvar b'teilim. The seventh tefillah doesn't accomplish it. It doesn't change anything ki hu zeh. You want to tell me like certain mitzvahs, like, let's say for example, I'm not even sure this would be even a good example. A person ate matzah, and now they're in the middle of eating the matzah. Now they want to make the alachas matzah now, osmach, the continuation of the matzah. So you can discuss, is eating more matzah called a mitzvah, not called a mitzvah, maybe yeah, maybe no. But tefillah is fundamentally a matir. Tefillah, the goal of tefillah is to make you tohar. If you're tohar, then there's no mitzvah tefillah anymore. But when she went to the mikveh, the game's over. She's tohar already. She gains nothing by a second tefillah. So how does that second tefillah somehow hocus pocus create the ability to overlast the also? For the pashas, the minig is a very, very difficult minig. In terms of pure lom, this very, very difficult minig to understand. There are some acharonim who want to put such a lomdish spin on this minig that I would be afraid to tell the women to do such a thing. So, yeah, remember, she needs like a sheer quality to understand the lomdish spin on this minig. Some acharonim have the following idea. That maybe when a woman goes to the mikvah, she should go to the mikvah hatanai. Catch this. We thought tanoim were reserved for kedushin and gerushin. She goes to the mikvah hatanai. I'm going under the water now. I'm not going to make a bracha. I'm going under the water now. If the halacha is like the Rishonim, like the Ri, that I'm not supposed to make the bracha before, so then I want the tefillah to work. And then as soon as I finish the first tefillah, I'm going to make a bracha and show myself. If the halacha is like the Rishonim, that I'm really supposed to make the bracha first, then I don't want this tefillah to be effective. So I want the tefillah not to count. And then I'm going to make the bracha. And then it'll be tovelus a second time, and that second tefillah will be the real tefillah. In effect, she creates it tonight to, in a sense, be suffic, invalidate the first tefillah. So Machmer have such an idea. So that suggestion is also pillar one, also almost impossible to understand for the following reason. We pass in halacha that if a woman goes to the mikvah without any intention, without any kavanah, she's fast asleep and someone tosses her into the water, the din is that the tefillah is good. There's one opinion of Hashem that says that maybe she should go back a second time. Maybe that's really not mikra din. We pask in the chulin of kavanah. It's a sugi in the second part of chulin that in yadam of chulin, like for shechita, you don't have to have kavanah that you're shechting. You have to have a baisa gavra. It can't be like say a knife just fell out of nowhere, fell off the roof and fell onto an animal, cut the sibana properly. That's no good. You need a kecha gavra, but you don't need kavanah sa gavra. That's what the Gemara says, that if a katan is shaychet, as long as somebody's watching him, the tefillah is good. Because you don't need kavanah sa'adam for shechita, you just need a ma'isa adam. The Gemara says that's what kachim and chulin part ways. That for kachim, you need a kavanah mis'asik for shechita, kachim is possible. When the person is shechts, the person was fast asleep, and they're not in their hand just slid by an animal and did a perfect shechita, pretty impressive shechita. He shechted even in his sleep. So he did a perfect shechita, he didn't even know what he was doing. So for shechita, chulin, that's good. Is kachim, that's no good. So the Gemara says the same idea is true by tevila. Tevila for chulin and baila is considered to be like chulin mevashas. So there is no din of kavanah b'chlal. So how can you tell me a story that I went to the mikvah and I had a tenai hinni muchem zuman that it shouldn't be chal? So therefore it's not chal. No, it's not true. It's chal anyway. But I want to not think. Moshe of the bedayna, Ruba the place can say. Let's say a person shecht an animal chulin and says hinni muchem zuman. I don't want it to be chal. I want this to be an avela. Also, the person says, it's shechit anyway. It's not like achilas matzah kishoyfa kriyishba. It's not a mitzvah in the sense of you can make it tonight, whether you can be yaitz the mitzvah. Even that's not so posh, you can make tonight by mitzvahs. But zolzayin, you can make tonight by mitzvahs. Here, this is a matir. So the matir is, I went into the water. Matir is, the animal sivana mashechted. Mach patli, where they had kavon l'shem mitzvah na. So the whole idea of saying that this minig is based on this Tanai, Safik, Maisloch, is and perhaps even more polyphlum than the first part of the minute. So again, it's a tzorchian gadol. We don't really understand in terms of pure lumdus what this minhag is based on. It has something to do with the sugya that we're learning. There's some achronim wanted to touch it up and make it a very, very lumdus, a razzle dazzle tonight. It's very, very hard to understand that as well. Lamaisa, the women should still do it. That's what their grandmothers did. They should still do it. And guess what? The women today have another minhag. They add on a third tefillah also. What's that? That has nothing to do with esrei. Nothing to do with achas brachas. That's based on other things. The nigla, the nista, whatever it's based on. That there's a minhag Yisrael that when the women go to the mikveh, they do it three times. But again, that third tefillah is really not based on anything pure halachic. And Yem says even the second tefillah is very, very shaky. How that even solves any particular halachic dilemma that we're trying to accomplish. So Hayatim and Advarim, it would appear that in our heart and soul, the Ashkenazim really, really do follow the view of the Ri that just as by tefillah of Ger or Rashi of Balkari, so the din is that you recite the bracha afterwards. So the same is true when it comes to other tefillahs, again, even though the reason per se doesn't apply. So this idea of almost keeping up the conformity in Uchus Brachas is a theme that appears in other potential mitzvahs as well. And it's actually really connected very much. It's the next part of our sugya. So let's go back to the Telsim Sachem of Zayim and Mays, which we were learning Arichos last week. Let's go back to this Telsis. Yeah, Tosfos themselves give you an example of this. They give you another example. We have such a phenomenon that we recite a bracha after the mitzvah, and not only do we recite the bracha after. Sorry about that. What's that? I don't know why. Something happened here. Now we lost the video. Hold on. Hold on, give me a second. Yeah, can you can still hear me though? Henry, can you still hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, but I don't know why I'm losing. I keep on losing the video. What's that mean?
It's back.
I'm back, okay.
You're back.
All right, we're back, okay. Hopefully not to leave again, okay.
Did you say Sukkah Zayinam Beis? What did you
say? Psachim, sorry. Psachim Zayinam Beis.
Psachim
Zayinam Beis, sorry. Psachim Zayinam Beis.
Okay.
So, comes Tosfos in Divrei Maaskal al HaTevila, where, let's pick up the Tosfos. We'll pick it up. Divrei Maaskal al HaTevila, it's right in the middle of the Tosfos. The first one on is Levarech. Right in the middle of the Tosfos. The Chayim ben Atilas Yadayim, says Tosfos, when it comes to Atilas Yadayim, lo chilku ben Atilas shel acha beis hakisei, the lo motzi levarech koidem. Says Tosfos, there are multiple times when a person recites the Atilas Yadayim. Sometimes a person recites the Atilas Yadayim and his hands are fundamentally clean. So you're going to sit down, you're going to eat. So hands are really clean. You know, you're allowed to make a bracha without, you have to, if I want to make a bar parade, I don't have to go run to wash my hands. When I make shahakal, I don't have to run to wash my hands. So my hands are clean. I could make the bracha now, but sometimes you have a situation where you can't make a bracha because your hands are taka dirty. Or just went to the bathroom. So if a person went to the bathroom, now they're coming out of the bathroom and they're going to make an Atilas Yadayim, it's not 100% clear from Tosfos. It's Tosfos referring to, you're about to daven now, you're about to eat now, you just stop making this. It's not clear exactly why you're doing that, but let's say your hands are dirty and you can't make it tzitzit daven now. So everyone agrees you would have to wash first, make the bracha afterwards. So Tosfos borrows that model and says, even though when the Gemara talks about birchas and mitzvahs that are not over lasiyason, the Gemara only came up with one. But of all the mitzvahs, the Gemara came up with a grandiose total of one. The one mitzvah of tefillah b'mikvah is one mitzvah. One second, something just popping up on my screen. That's something's wrong here. Okay, let me just try undo this. Hold on. Okay, I think that's better. Okay. All right. I think that's better. Okay, there's something wrong with the camera connection. I'm not sure what it is. Okay. So comes to us and says, even though in the Gemara there's all of one case that's singled out as a Gavel Ochazi, Tosa says we found another one. We discovered the Tilas Yadayim. Because every once in a while, the Tilas Yadayim, my hands are dirty, I can't make the brach till afterwards. So Tosa says, you know what? The Chayim does them loch kilkul. So therefore Chazal didn't differentiate. But the Tilas Shal Acha Besaki said Lomos Lebrach Kaidim. So Tosa says, you know what? Any and every time that you wash the Tilas Yadayim, you should make the bracha afterwards. The same model, the same svara. Again, look how far we've come. We started out back to Sukkah. We started out where the basic klal is, kol mitzvah svarach lemov alasiyosin. That's chaytvel yavor, almost. Until the Gemara says yavor. There's one exception. The one lone exception the Gemara Sukkah was able to have to the Gemara Sukkah was tila b'mikvah. And even that, we weren't sure what it was. And even that, we're not even sure whether there's a little plug. Then Tos says, guess what? We're going to up the Gemara one more time. There's another case, the Tilas Yadayim, that since every once in a blue moon, there's a possibility exists that you can't make the bracha first, your hands are dirty. So then, up the little plug, up to that, we always recite the bracha afterwards. But then Tos is backpedals and says, you know, maybe what we do by the Tilas Yadayim is based on something totally different. Tells us a whole other story. This is what it says. Maybe by the Tilas Yadayim, the reason why we're weary to recite the bracha before we wash has nothing to do with the low plug. The low plug story is not right. But it's based on a different story. Mara says in Sota that when you wash the Tilas Yadayim, you have to dry your hands. Now, why you have to dry your hands is actually a big machlokes in Rishonim. There's already more, but it's a dime sugya, less of a bracha sugya. It's a major question in Rishonim why that's true. But the mice said, the bottom line is you have to dry your hands. Also, dry your hands. Tosfos says, since you're required to dry your hands to complete the mitzvah, if you're going to make the bracha before you wash, it's a little bit too early. That's almost like over the over. That's like making a bracha in your tefillin when the tefillin is still in the bag. So therefore, the reason why we recite the bracha after we wash, before we dry, is not because gavel ochazi and a little plug and uniformity and brachas and hechas tvila and the whole suit. No, that's the wrong, says Tosfos. You know why we recite the bracha before we dry? Because that's the right time to do it. Because that is takal ayv lasiyosan. That is ayv lasiyosan. Because since the mitzvah is not completed until the nikov, so that is good for the enuchal ayv lasiyosan gonna be said. So Tosfos is giving us now two very different versions to explain why we do what we do. Tosfos is not questioning what we do. Tosfos is saying, for sure, everybody knows, every little kid knows, you wash first, make the bracha, and then dry your hands. Tosfos is just not sure what the rationale for that order is. So one pshat, the first beer of Tosfos is, it's part of our sugya. It's related to the general rule of bracha is that we always try to be avos yasan, the Gemara Sukkah always is true, except when it's not true, except when it's gavel ochazi. Just as the Gemara Pesachim identified a case of gavel ochazi by Tevila, we added on the Yiddish from another one by the Tilas Yadayim. Just as some of the Rishayim said by Tevila, we have a little plug uniformity in brachas, so we always keep the bracha out of order in effect. That same mile carries off to Tilas Yadayim. So that explains why we do what we do. And the Yiddish by Mrs. Tai says, no, the reason why we do what we do is a totally different bar, a totally different story. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Simple, because it's before the Negro, that is the right place in the bracha. So if we think of enough Kamin Ladina, at the end of the day, we're doing what we do. We know what we're doing. Every kid knows what we're doing. We have enough Kamin Ladina, whether you go down the first with the Tais or the second with the Tais, it's hard to be a big enough Kamina. What would the din be in the following case? A person poured the water on his hands, dried his hands already, and then realizes, oh my golly, I forgot to recite. Now what? What do you do at that point? Does it make sense to recite Alatiz Yadayim at that point or not? So the heart depends. If you go down the first root of Tosfos, that the brach of Alatiz Yadayim was deliberately placed by Chazal, in a sense, the wrong place because of the svar of Gavel Ochazi, the answer is, we're always making it after the mitzvah is over. So my nafkamina, whether we're making it after we wash or after we dry, it's always in the wrong place. So kach tiknu chachamim. But if you go down the second root of Tosfos, the bracha of Tosfos is not in the wrong place. It's exactly where it belongs, before the mitzvah. We just goofed, we misunderstood what the mitzvah was. We thought the mitzvah was washed, and the mitzvah is really, the drawing is the gemara davar. But if you miss the drawing, then it's not too late. Then it's no longer overless yasa. And according to the second day of Tosfos, it is a din of overless yasa until sinayim, and you have to fulfill it. And if you don't, then you have to go back to what we spoke about 2-3 weeks ago. What would be the din b'diyavah by any mitzvah that's not overless yasa? What if I ate matzah and I remembered it afterwards? What if I blew shofar and remembered it afterwards? What if I read the Megillah and then realized afterwards I forgot to make the bracha? Can you make a bracha after the mitzvah? That was a big machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Zarua, that was far from muskum. Spent a lot of time talking about that 2 weeks ago. But that'll happen after Kamin Ladinim. Again, under normal circumstances, we know what we do. We wash first, recite the bracha afterwards, and then dry. Most acharonim hold that if you already dried your hands, you can still be the ever make the bracha. The Taz disagrees. That machlek is the Taz and all the other acharonim is mamash these 2 days and Tosfos. Everybody agrees that the buck stops here if you're ready eating. If you're ready made hamotzi, you're ready to eat through your meal, then it's kind of a little bit too late for the Tosfos Yadayim. But otherwise, until that point, so b'diav, you can probably still recite the Tosfos Yadayim, because the Tosfos Yadayim is one of those brachas that's pushed off based on the low plug, that whole theory that we said before.
So to understand, according to the Taz, you just have to wash your hands again.
According to the Taz, no, it's too late. You don't have to wash your hands again. So you missed the bracha. It's like any other mitzvah did without a bracha.
But the tikkun is just wash your hands and then.
No, but that the tikkun won't accomplish it. Your hands are clean. You have to be dirty your hands over again. You have to be rematami your hands, remake your hands chayim tozei daim. It's not enough just to pour water. If my hands were just washed a minute ago and I pour water on again, I make a bracha. That's a bracha vatal. Because there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is over. Okay. So let's get back now to this.
So it's one more nekuda, and the netilas sedaim is tied into the motzi, meaning that netilas sedaim without the motzi is not a bracha.
But there's no mitzvah to wash the sedaim, unless because I'm only misachem to sedaim for a few cases. I'm misachem to sedaim. The misachem to sedaim for a motzi. The misachem for wet fruit. Whether that applies, this balance has a question. The misachem in the morning. That's the gemara bracha. The misachem. One of the things you do in the morning is you wash the sedaim with the bracha. And there's machlekes and mishachim with a misakin before every tefillah. So some mishachim say before you daven mincha ma'ariv, also you have to wash with the bracha, but the whole 9 yards. And others disagree. That's what I mean. Again, many people wash, albeit without a bracha before tefillah, because not all the rishonim agree to such a mitzvah. Okay. So let's take everything we've been talking about and go one step further. So again, we're still gearing up to get back to sukkah. Don't worry, we're getting back to lulav. I didn't forget the little misakin of sukkah. We're still getting there. It takes us a little longer to get there than we expected, but we'll hopefully mention we're still getting back there. So the starting point is the Gemara and Sukkah. Kol HaMitzvahs, we should say it over 100 times. It says, Kol HaMitzvahs Mevarech Aleim Avolas Yosun. And then the Gemara and Pesach and Zayin Rebeis, kind of under our breath, we say, Chutz Minazeh. And the only Chutz that appears in the Gemara is Tefillah. And maybe, according to one day in Tosfos, Til Shaddai. But more than that, there doesn't seem to be anything else to discuss. Chutz be anything else. And yet, there were some Yishanim who end up having another chutz. There's an additional chutz. There's one more chutz. What's the one other chutz? So the other chutz is the Gemara. Let me get the Gemara down. Okay. It's based on a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. We need a little bit of a background in order to appreciate one more application of the chutz in order to set ourselves up for the next part of the sugya. It's a very, very famous Gemara. The Gemara that appears in Shabbos and Daf Chav Gimel Mebeis. I know we're getting closer to Purim, to anybody, Tu B'Shvat tomorrow night, but this is a Chanukah sugya. But let's pick it up from Chav Gimel Mebeis. It's about 12 lines from the top, but 2 dots, Amar Rabba. First line of the line is Amar Rabba. Amar Rabba. Pshitali, it's obvious to me. Ner beiso v'ner chanaka, ner beiso adif. If a person doesn't have enough money to buy Shabbos candles, that's ner beiso, as well as chanaka candles, which takes precedence? They're both mitzvahs de Rabbanan. Which one should he spend the money for? Rabba says, You know, Beiso Adif, Mishum Shalom Beiso. It's more important to buy near Shabbos, because without near Shabbos, the house is going to be dark. There is Hanukkah. In the old day, the candles will be outside. It's not going to make your house light. So near Hanukkah is not going to add to the Shalom Bayis. So even though as important as near Hanukkah is, doesn't matter. Near Shabbos is more important because the Shabbos has that notion of Shalom Bayis connected to it. So there is a big machlekes that we've shown him. What exactly the significance of that statement is? If you take a look at those who have a Gemara and Shabbos with the riff in the back. So it's in the Yudam and Aleph Bedapi Arif. It's the last paragraph in the riff, on the Yudam and Aleph Bedapi Arif. Those are the regular standard riffs. The last paragraph on Yudam and Aleph Bedapi Arif. Umid the Amrinon, the Ner Chanukah, and Ner Beiso, Adif Yishuv Shalom Dai Beiso, because the Gemara says that if you don't have enough money for both, so you buy Shabbos candles. Because of this, Kosev Rambanza, Mashmali would appear to me, the Afla Hachdim Magdim in their base of the Shachanaka. Says the Ramban, forget about the guy who doesn't have enough money. He's got plenty of money. He's got 1,000 Chanukah candles he's got in the mail from every possible yeshiva. He's got loads of Chanukah candles. And he's got loads of Shabbos candles in the house. He's asking a different question. Which one should I do first? So the Gemara is talking about which one should I do at the expense of the other. I only have money for one. Ramban says, no, let's discuss which one takes precedence over the other in terms of order. Says the Ramban, it would appear to me that Ner Shabbos comes first. Why? Two reasons. So the Ramban is referencing a Gemara in the end of Maseches Zevachim, where the Gemara says there's a rule in Nichos Kabbanos, which actually serves as the source for the rule in other areas of the Halach as well. It's called Tod V'Sheino Tod Tod Kodim. You have two Kabbanos to bring. One is Tod and one is not. So you bring the Tod the carbon first. Then the Mishnah records a second rule. What if you have two carbonas? One carbon is more Kaddish than the other. One's Kachin Kachin, one's Kachin Kalim. Even within the categories of Kachin Kachin, Kachin Kalim, there are dargas or degrees. There's a hierarchy of Kedusha. So the Mishnah says, those are two klal of Kedima and Uchus carbonas, which spill over to other bitches as well. There's a klal of Tod and there's a klal of Kaddish. The only shaya the Gemara has in Zvachim is what if you have a clash between the two? What if I have two karbanos? One of them is more tadda, but the other one is more makudish. What do you do? So that's a whole two-block long in the Gemara. What do you do? Pashas and Paskin, a tadda probably is. But says the Ramban, one thing is clear for the Gemara, that if one mitzvah has both, and the other has neither, of course, the one that has both is going to win. It's like a... So let's use the Kloli Kadima Brachis in terms of two neighbors. I have the mitzvah Ner Shabbos and the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Ner Shabbos is obviously more tadir. Shabbos is 52 weeks a year, and Chanukah is 8 days a year. Obviously, Shabbos is more tadir. Shabbos is more mekudosh. Why is it? What makes it more mekudosh? Because it's more meshubach. Because it's more important. Because that's what the Gemara said. Because it has the element of shalom bayis. So Chanukah is very important. That's mesum anisa, but that's clearly not as important as significant as shalom bayis. So it's a toss up between there is Chanukah versus there is Shabbos. There is Shabbos wins hands down, says the Ramban. Of course you do. Neir Shabbos. What's the Shiloh? What's the latest Asafa with the Habamina? Do anything different? Of course you do Neir Shabbos first. So comes Ramban and concedes of our easy to Baalach Hazal. Nevertheless, I saw the Baalach Hazal. The Hag said, when a person is getting ready on Shabbos Chanukah to light both, Reisha Malik to Chanukah, Vahadla Malik Shal Shabbos. Says the Hag, the exact opposite, which is the practice, of course, that we're familiar with. Why is that? The Adlik the Shabbos Bereisha, because if you're going to light the Shabbos candles first, it's a lane that look at the Chanukah, then you will no longer be able to light the Chanukah candles. You know why? We show the Kibla the Shabbos Alei. Says the Baruch Skidavis, quoted by the Ramban, the lighting of the Shabbos candles constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos, and once you become a Shabbos, you can't light Chanukah candles anymore. Now, the significance of this Baha'i goes for the other 51 weeks of the year as well. It's not just the Shabbos Chanukah. What the Baha'i just told us is a huge chiddush that a lopus neir Shabbos halachically, objectively constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos, which prohibits you from doing malachi afterwards. But therefore, for Shaitzach, obviously you're going to have to light the Chanukah candles first, because if you light the Shabbos candles first, you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah. That's what the Bahad says, though. It just happens to be, not only is the Bahad telling you an unbelievable Chiddush, that as long as there is Shabbos, is a Kabbalah Shabbos, think for a minute, who is lighting the Shabbos candles, who's lighting the Chanukah candles? L'chora, the women are lighting the Shabbos candles. That's normally, that's the Grand Sefer Berakhot of Shabbos says that Chazal basically gave the women the privilege to light the Shabbos candles. Both men and women are chayav equally in Shabbos candles, but Chazal gave the spitzer for the women to do on behalf of their husbands. And there is Chanukah, it usually doesn't have to be done by the husband. It can technically be done by the wife also, but usually it's done by the husband. So the Bahag is telling us a tremendous chiddush. He's telling us that Shabbos candles cannot precede Chanukah candles, because if they do, then Kabbalah Shabbos will prevent you from doing malacha. Prevent who from doing malacha? Of the husband. I didn't like the Shabbos candles. So the Bahag seems to be saying husbands and wives are one for all and all for one in this. That when a wife is with Kabbalah Shabbos to Halakas Neiros, that schleps the husband along also. I didn't say we possibly like that, but that's what the Baal Halacha Gadol seems to be saying. Otherwise, his cheshbon of making one before the other doesn't seem to make any sense. So it's a huge chiddush of the Bahag. So putting aside the second chiddush for a minute, the basic chiddush that Halakas Neiros Shabbos constitutes a Kabbalah Hayom. So the Ramban has a few words about this. The Kamahu Dochuk Zehatam. He says, I don't understand what this is. He says, I don't understand this, says the Ramban. Said, who in the world said that this is Kabbalah Shabbos? We state in Chazal that lighting Shabbos candles is Kabbalah Shabbos. And the Ramban elaborates a long, long, long Ramban. We'll leave it out for now. But the gist of the Ramban's kasha is that I'm lighting Shabbos candles as a preparation for Shabbos. Because obviously, I want to have light in the house on Shabbos, Shalom Bayis, and Shabbos, all the millions of reasons I want to have Shabbos candles. And since Lo Sevarish, Chomash Rosh, I can't light fire on Shabbos, I must light it before him. Says the Ramban, lighting Shabbos candles is Friday afternoon's preparation. Since when does Friday afternoon's preparation constitute a Kabbalah Shabbos? Let's say, Marshal, I want to be nice and clean on Shabbos, so I'm going to take a shower before Shabbos. I can't take a shower on Shabbos because there's bechatzos. What? I'm going to have to take a shower before Shabbos. So I'm doing what I would really like to do on Shabbos itself. I can't do it on Shabbos, so I'm looking at all the preparations before you. A new chumrah. Once you finish taking a shower, you can't do malach anymore. Just take a shower is a Kabbalah Shabbos. That's a late sonos. It's ridiculous. I'm vacuuming the house. I want the house to be clean for Shabbos. Spick and span for Shabbos. So I vacuum Friday afternoon. The minute I turn off the vacuum, I'm going to Kabbalah Shabbos. What does that mean? It says, Rabbi, man nishtan of the lighting of the candles from the vacuuming. Yeah, Rabbi doesn't use the word vacuuming, but from the vacuuming, from the cooking the children, from the taking the shower. What's the difference? Halachas Neiros is not a Kabbalah Shabbos. Halachas Neiros is a Malachas Yom HaShishi. It's a Malachas Erev Shabbos because you can't do it on Shabbos. So for Shteitz, you can do it on Erev Shabbos. That's the Ramban, the gist of Ramban. Yes, Kash is the Kash. It's the Bahad. Obviously, the Bahad. Obviously, the Bahad understood that Chazal must have built into the system of Halachas Neiros. Halachas Neiros is a Kabbalah Shabbos. It's more than vacuuming and more than taking a shower. And more than putting up the children, it is Malachas Friday as well as a Kabbalah Shabbos for Shabbos itself. It's fascinating, Machlokes in the Bahag and the Ramban. What if any dimension of Kabbalah Shabbos lived in Halachas Neiros? Ramban concedes as a concept of Kabbalah Shabbos. If a person davens Ma'ariv, then the Gemara says you can't do Malach anymore, even if it's Friday afternoon, if it's early. If a person is Makabal, formally Shabbos, is Mashiach, L'chadoyd, whatever it is, the person can say that's tantamount like a verbal Kabbalah Shabbos. So then the Gemara says the fourth prayer of Brachas, you can't do Malachi after Makabal Shabbos. What that's based on, they're icing, they're not for now. But there is a din that once you Makabal Shabbos, you can't do Malachi. But the Rabban says, Halachas Neiros is not a Kabbalah Shabbos, no more than making the shulant or vacuuming the floor. How do we pass this Machlokes to Rabban and Malachas Kabbalahs? So we have an interesting split. We split the Pesach and say that Halachas Neiros is not per se a Kabbalah Shabbos. It's not absolute, like the Ramban said, like the Bahag said, an absolute objective Kabbalah Shabbos under all circumstances. But it's almost a self-understood Kabbalah Shabbos, because that's what the Olam Zok, the Olam thinks that way. So even though the Maisa Halacha is not per se a Kabbalah, but the Maisa Halacha is usually associated with the last thing you do. People vacuum Friday morning. Nobody lights the candles Friday morning. People sometimes take a shower at 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. Nobody lights the candles 1, 2 o'clock. So Klal Yisrael have accepted upon themselves that a locus neighbors is basically tantamount to a Kabbalah. But not all members of Klal Yisrael have accepted this. The women accept it, not the men. Very simple reason. Very often, even if a man, let's say, is home and he's lighting candles, his wife's not around, whatever, he's single, he's lighting candles, he still has to go to Shul Dav Mincha. So the last thing he wants to do is be Mekabel Shabbos with a locus neighbors. But generally speaking, we split that when a woman lights candles, so it's understood when women light candles that they're being Mekabel Shabbos. That's what Taka Samishan say, that since we paskin that Hadlokas Neris is not an objective Kabbalah, it's not the Chazal Misakin Hadlokas Neris is a Kabbalah. Chazal will not really Misakin. That's no, objectively, no more than vacuuming the floor. It's based on the Machshavas Adam. So what if a woman says, I don't want to be Mekabel? She says, I'm making exception, I'm making it tonight. That's what Mikra did, we paskin it, tonight works. The post can say, we don't like to do it all the time, you don't have to. But Mikra did it, tonight works. Why is it tonight work? If the Bahag is right, it tonight doesn't work. If the Bahag is right, the Chazal Misakin, the Halachas Neiros is Kabbal Shabbos, objectively, the game's over. So the third is we don't really follow the Bahag. We follow that almost like a watered down version of the Bahag. Not quite the Ramban that we ignore Halachas Neiros altogether, not quite like the Ramban that we accepted, not like the Bahag we accepted as an objective Kabbal Shabbos, it's somewhere in the middle. How does this impact us? In a huge way. Comes the Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos and says, at least we Ashkenazim, says the Ramah, have accepted this like middle of the ground position, that middle of the rope, so middle of the road position, that when a woman benches lech without making any condition to the contrary, it's self-understood that there's a Kabbal Shabbos there. What moment in time does the Kabbal Shabbos kick in? What precise moment do we say she's Mekabel Shabbos? So Bepashtos, when she says the words, L'chatzik Neshel Shabbos. That's the Kabbal. Now, yeah, the Ramban's wife also bench left, also made a bracha, but the Ramban said, you can make the bracha, light candles, and then go vacuum afterwards, then go take a shower afterwards. The Ramban had no problem with that. But we wouldn't do that. Now the Ramban says, according to this new middle-of-the-road minute that we have, that the recitation of the Hadlik Deshul Shabbos constitutes Kabbal Shabbos, now we're in a pickle. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us, Kol HaMitzvahs Mevarach L'mov L'as Yasson. We must recite the bracha before we do the mitzvah. I can do that logistically. You're going to make a bracha, L'Hadlik Deshul Shabbos, and then strike a match and light the candles with Mechal Shabbos. Once we're Mekabel upon ourselves that the bracha is the Kabbal Shabbos, you can't light the candles anymore. The Ramah writes, that's the source for the minhag in the Ashkenazi communities, that we light candles first, and then recite the bracha afterwards. So in effect, what we do is, we borrow the model of Pesachim Dev Zayin Rebeis, which is the exception to the Sugin Sukkah Dev Lamites. Everything started with Sukkah Lamites. The basic law is called the Gemara Pesachim told us that every once in a while, once in a while, and the Gemara only gave us one example of the exception. So Tosis gave us potentially another one, Tosis died, possibly. The Ramah and Hilchos Shabbos now adds on a third one to the list. It says, Halakas Neir Shabbos, according to this middle ground, is basically an exception to the rule also. And now our hands are tied, you're forced to recite the Brachim. What can you do? It's a quote unquote, a Katil Gavid Lo Chazli equivalent. So I stayed in the Ramah. Yeah, just find them, don't buy into this. But this is the minute of the Ashkenazi communities. If you remember back, we spoke a few minutes ago about Tefillah B'Mikvah, the same Ashkenazi women, the same kind of alumnus Sheminik. Ashkenazi women were very bothered. You know they were bothered? That the Gemara doesn't say this. The Gemara says, Kol HaMitzvahs Baruch L'Mavos Yosan. Finished. Tefillah's Geir. That's probably all the Gemara really meant. So we extended a lot of Plug to the Tefillah's Need also. We came up with this whole razzle-dazzle Shavatoy with alumnus Neiris. We have all these new extensions of the Gemara that are not clear in the Gemara, that are our extrapolations, guessing that maybe these are including that cloud of Sakhav Zayin Rebeis. The women were very weary about these practices. And therefore, whenever these practices came up, they try to find a little bit of a tikkun porta. Let's do it in such a way, we'll do the mitzvah first, we'll do the bracha afterwards, but we're going to try to kvetch in such a way that we do a little bit chutz, a little mash of the mitzvah afterwards also. So that'll make it a little bit more kapshuta of lasi also. How do you do that? So we tried by tefillah to do that, by throwing in a second tefillah for good luck, And we really weren't so sure that works. We were not really sure that accomplishes anything in reality. But when it came to Lucas Neiris, the women came up with another chap. This one, Taka, makes a lot of sense. I think the other one also, I don't want to say on the midi by Tevila, but the one by Lucas Neiris really, really makes a lot of sense. The mitzvah of Lucas Neiris Shabbos is primarily for earning Shabbos, for Shalom Bayis, etc., covered earning Shalom Bayis. If a person lights candles and walks out of the room and never to return, so he's not really here to the mitzvah. This is a big problem. A lot of people do this. They go away for Friday night meal. They'll light candles in the house. They'll run right out the door. By the time they come back, 6 hours later, the candles are out. So that's a serious problem. You have to get electric lights. It gets complicated. The person lights candles and doesn't, not manna for the lights, but clouds. That's not really the mitzvah. It's not a mice out walk. The whole mitzvah is to enjoy the candles, enjoy the light. So the Ramon writes the following minig developed the Ashkenazi communities. That a woman lights the candles, makes the bracha. But what does she do when she makes the bracha? She
covers her eyes.
Covers her eyes. Why? So most people think it's for some deep devotional, spiritual, mystical. No, the Rama says, you know what? The women cover their eyes. They cover their eyes because they don't want to be nana from the light till after the bracha's over. Because if they'll be nana from the light before the bracha's over, then they mamish completed the mitzvah. Then the bracha's going to be, not the bracha, but the bracha's going to be out of place. It's going to be not over us, Yasa, and it really should have been, because we're not even so sure this whole Rabbat, and we're not even sure what to do with this bracha. Because there's so many sveikis, we're so not sure whether this minig that we have of this middle ground view, of middle of the road view, of lighting first, bracha afterwards, because we're not even sure it's right altogether. So if the minig became that the women do it, but then they keep their eyes closed, and only to be opened after the bracha. Then you see the Neir Shabbos, Hazah, Kishbach, Hazah, Hanof, and the Enik Shabbos. So you can have your kick and eat. You have your halacha and eat it. You had your halacha before the mitzvah and your mitzvah before that halacha.
But the men don't cover their eyes when they make the bracha.
Oh, wait. Hold on. We're getting to the men. Hold on. That's so simple. Hold on. I remember I was once giving a shiur. I used to, years ago, when I first got married, I used to give shiur in Stern and Hilchos Shabbos. One night a week, I'd go down to Stern and give shiur in Hilchos Shabbos. So once we were doing some of the sugyas of Lucha's neighbors, I mentioned this whole lumdish reason for this minig. One of the women raised the hand and said, Rabbi, what's the source for this part of the minig? I said, I have no idea. I said, my grandmother did it, my mother did it, my wife does it, no idea. My daughter, I'm sure, doesn't. I have no idea. My guess is what it's probably based on is also this idea that since we're viewing a Lucas Neiris like a Kabbalah Shabbos in a sense, like a waving. Like the same way we have a minute that we stand up and shul, we turn around for the last Chadaydi, because it's like a holich Shabbos Amalka. Gemara says in Shabbos that they used to go out to be holich across Shabbos Amalka. The minute that we have of saying Kabbalah Shabbos, I think it's a way, 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 way new minute. That minig is a couple hundred years old. That's not in Tzfas in the 1500s. But the idea of having a Kabbalah Shabbos in a sense of to go out to greet Shabbos, that's a Gemara. It's going to regular brach. Baba Kama says that Rebbe Chanan used to do that. That was already prevalent in the days of Chazal. That notion that you would have some kind of a formal, inviting the Shabbos in. And it takes the form of six Kapitel Chatehillim with Rav Bekoyach, with Lechadoidi, and Mizmashir, that started in Tzfat 500 years ago. But the basic surah, that existed in Zman Chazal also. I think that's probably what that's based on. That's like a little bit like a common local ushering in the Shabbos, I guess. So back to the story of Isaac. Let's take the sugi now one step further. You have to say, Lomdus, even in Minhag Yisrael, you have to understand, Mamish, every Minhag Yisrael is also Kedish Kedoshim. You have to understand where it comes from. So let's connect the dots of everything we've been learning. It was the connection between Sukkah and Pesachim. So it was like the merging of Kalav Boker and the Wednesday night shiur. So the starting point is the Gemara in Sukkah Lamitas, Kalav Mitzvah, so that's the goal, that's the aim. Then the Gemara says, every once in a blue moon, you got a problem of Gavra L'Chazi. So we're having a very, very expansive version of Gavra L'Chazi. We've even entered into the realm of Hadlachas Neri Shabbos. Remember, the Tosfos back in Zion of the Days, we had the idea of, many Rishonim held, once we've identified a mitzvah, that we have to flip the order for whatever technical reason, because the person's not Jewish, the person's tamei, the hands are dirty from the bathroom. Whatever reason we have to sometimes flip the order, once flipped, always flipped. Low plug, or we flip it all the time, whether the reason makes sense, it doesn't make sense in this particular situation. And that's what feels need is backwards, and that's what feels time, everything's backwards. How does that impact on a book's name, Shabbos, in the following? There was a famous, famous Chiddush quoted. The Chiddush is fascinating, and the source of the person who came up with the Chiddush is also fascinating. The Chiddush is that b'med of amamurim, we should follow this practice of lighting first and bracha afterwards, as on Friday night. And Yom Tov night, l'chol, it makes no sense. You're allowed to light candles on Yom Tov. As long as you don't strike a match, you're allowed to light candles on Yom Tov. So in Yom Tov, why don't we do the right way? Why don't we make the bracha, like the Gemara in Sukkah? Why should we fall back on the B'di'evit, so to speak, and the Pesachim Gavad L'Chazik? There's no need to. On Friday night, we stop. On Yom Tov, let's make the bracha, and then light the candle. We're not going to strike the match, so we'll hold the candle in the hand. We struck the match before. We got to hold the candle in the hand, and we'll make the bracha, and then light the candle. Then the Yom Tov candle. What's the problem? What is forcing us not to do that? It makes so much sense. So that Chiddush, that's the correct way to light candles for Yom Tov, was suggested by the wife of the Sma. Sma was one of the Gedolei Achronim. He wrote the Prisha and the Drisha on the tour, Perush at the bottom of the tour, and he wrote the Sma running commentary. It was him and the Shach, they were running Perushim on Chesha Mishpat, but the Gedolei HaPoiskim of all times, the Helig Sma. And the Sma's son tells over about his mother's practice. He said his mother was a Blumeda. She knew a lot. And he says that his mother, the Sma's wife, came up with this Chiddush on her own. That it would make sense when you bench Lecht on Yom Tov, you should flip the order back to where it should have been in the first place. Because there's no reason to keep it uniform. There's no reason not to. That was the Sma's mother, Sma's wife's Chiddush. So the Magen Avraham quotes it from the Sma's wife. He says that this woman said this pshat, the Sma's wife said this pshat. And the Magen Avraham says, "Because right there, she's not right." That's the Magen Avraham. You know why she's not right? I ain't taisim sachem b'zayinim beis. I ain't chatzilim b'mikvah. Says the Magen Avraham, the same way that we keep uniformity in the bracha of Ala Tevila, the bracha of Tevila, and we have all the women making the bracha at the quote-unquote wrong time after the tefillah is over. Why? Because the tefillah is ger. Keep statistics in the mikveh. How many times is the mikveh used for women? How many times for ger? So 1,000 women will use the mikveh and one ger will use the mikveh, because that one ger, all 1,000 women make the bracha backwards. That's Kerech Vloy Plum. That's Taisus. We read the Taisus. That was the read last week. That's the Minigai Nasha. That's what we do. And according to one day in Taisus, that's exactly what happens with this time also. How many times have you washed this down when your hands were dirty from going to the bathroom? How many times have you washed this down when your hands are perfectly clean anyway? Doesn't matter, loyf flug, that's it. So Zok the Magen Avraham, the same way that I'm Niniki is loyf flug, by the people that I am. This whole shtickle taking the bracha afterwards is an extension of the Ram Sochim, but it's extended to loyf flug as well. So the Magen Avraham time is you shouldn't have followed the Sma's wife. Nope, can we defend the Sma's wife? The Nedvi Huda defended the Sma. It sounds like a fascinating discussion here. The Nedvi Huda is coming to defend the Sma's wife against the Magen Avraham's Taina. All within the Taisus. That's Nedvi Huda. It's a big difference. It's a tremendous chiluk. Says the Nedvi Huda, what are you so worried about uniformity of brachas for? It's a different bracha. One's the bracha l'Hadikdash of Shabbos, one's the bracha l'Hadikdash of Yom Tov. He says, you want to tell me in uniformity of brachas al HaTvila Zozai? You want to tell me uniformity of brachas al HaTisidayim? Also good. It's a different bracha. There's going to be no proof to you that when it's a different, it starts the same but ends differently. I'll prove to you that we couldn't kill us by uniformity of brachas. Who could think of his Raya? Can you believe that I mean his Raya? Catch this one. Nobody has ever. What? What is the Ari?
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. There's no reason, knowing the history of the world.
I said Hanukkah candles.
No one has ever suggested Erev Chanukah has flipped the order because Migawat to Hilchos Shabbos. And I'm about to light my menorah. No, I can't make a bracha first. Got to light first because the loy plug in Hilchos Brachas says that it's ridiculous, absurd. Why is it absurd? Because it's a different bracha, a different Hilchos Bracha. Says it viewed it the same way that Hilchos Chanukah luchud and Hilchos Shabbos luchud, Hilchos Yom Tov luchud, Hilchos Shabbos luchud. Could we be doicha the Nebi Yehuda's the chi of the Bracha? It's like a gadget. Could we be doicha the Nebi Yehuda's the chi of the Magen Avraham's the chi of the Sma's mother? There's a little bit of a difference between having the Shabbos and Yontif versus having the Shachan. I mean, Shabbos is basically the same mitzvah, just you know, one different word, a different Shachanik is a one's a menorah with eight candles, one's two Shabbos candles, one's a woman standing doing this, one's a guy singing Baruch Adosh, I'm singing both. I mean, come on, ain't no doim as well as that. So maybe who this Kasha? That if you're going to keep to uniformity of brachas, you have to keep uniform that there's Chanukah, and from the fact that we don't, there's a riot, we don't care about uniformity, not such a, I mean, I argue with the Yehuda, but you can argue with that. It's a double mevav, it's just a personal notes, we said before, double mevav, the notes on the side of the Yehuda were never supposed to be published, they were written by the Yehuda's own notes, scribbles on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, so gavaldik, when he, after he was nifter, his children found it, and they opened up his farm, they found his notes on the Shulchan Aruch, so they printed it as the double mevav. So the minhag of the Ashkenazim is by Neir Shabbos for sure. All the Ashkenazi women they light first, make the bracha afterwards. They do the whatever they do with the hand. There is Yontif. There are some women who follow the Sma's mother. Some women have that practice that the Yontif candles they type a flip the order, flip it back to normal, and make the bracha first, and then the bracha and then the look afterwards. And others don't. Others keep it the same. They got a quick show of hands, anyone here who knows what their wife does. Their wife, those who's who, I guess you may have to turn your screen now for a second. I don't know if anyone's in their pajamas, anyone embarrassed anybody, but whoever can turn the screens, we'll take a quick survey. So who here thinks they know what their wife does? Whose wife on Yom Tov does the exact same they do on Shabbos?
Probably does.
Who here knows for certain that they do the other way? No one knows for certain. Okay, my guess is most women do it this way.
Yeah, but probably does it the same way, not because of any svaras.
The suffix is just that they never heard of the Sma's mother, the Sma's wife.
This is how they're used to doing it.
So yeah. That's so the emphasis is, I'll tell you the secret. You know why I recommend it? If a woman comes and says, I have a minig, that's I want to do it like the Sma's, I'm not going to argue. But if a woman comes to ask me, what should I do? I'll tell you to do it the way most of the women do it. I'll tell you why. Yom Tov candles are confusing. You know why? Ask your wife sometime how many times she made Shechiyonu on the last day of Pesach and how many times she forgot to make a Shmini Atzeres. People get confused with Shechiyonu, how many times they forgot on Yom Tov Sheni to make Shechiyonu, they make it in the seventh night of Pesach, by the seventh. It's confusing. You know why it's confusing? Because for Yom Tov Rishon, you're like before Shkia, and if Sheni, you have to light, you have to taste, and then Shavtim, you got to learn. It gets confusing. But one less thing of confusion makes life a little bit less good. One last akuda de suya, we'll close it up for now, just in terms of the Shabbos. There's one case, though, that everybody seems to deny the uniformity. That's of men. Like, if a wife's not home, the man's lighting his own Shabbos candles, so then the meaning, I think, seems to be uniform in that the men recite the bracha first and light afterwards. What happened to the uniformity of brachas? I don't know. It got lost somewhere. I'm not sure what happened to it. So I'll call upon him. Everything we've been talking about, all three of these different mitzvahs, the tefillah that appears in the Gemara, the Tosfos that appears in Tosfos, the Lucas Neiros that appears in the Ramah based on the Ramah and the Baha'i's discussion, they are all applications of the exceptions to the rule of the Gemara and Sukkah. It all started out with the Gemara and Sukkah of Kol Mitzvah Tzvach Levav Bless Yosef. So believe it or not, we still have not finished this. We have to go back to the Gemara of Bitshem next week and to just fine tune a little bit more, because we're still setting ourselves up for the discussion about Kol Mitzvah of Yosef, particularly about something about Lulav, because that's what it's doing. People may have forgotten we're learning Lulav HaGozel, but we're still learning about the Bracha Lulav. So we still have more work to do. So we still have a more of Hakdamah. So I think this may be part four of this one sugya, to still set ourselves up for properly understanding what's going on within the process. We talk a little bit about it. A little bit down, understand the goddess of Minhag Yisrael. There's a lot of lomdish, even in the minute that our wives do. Tremendous, tremendous, a lot of lomdish. Okay, good. I wish you have a good night. Let's see one.